Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
I want to hear cannons. Outfield, pull up, ball to the five, touchdown Tampa Bay. Mike Evans does it again. Fire the cannons, Bucks.
It's first and goal. That's picked off. That's picked off. And who else? Rondé Barber. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers may ride to the Super Bowl with that one.
Third down, 18. Dropping Gannon, looking Gannon, looking Gannon. Goes up to the
head. It's intercepted. Derek Brooks, 30. Brooks to the 29. He's got Derek Brooks all the way.
There it is. The dagger's in. We're going to win the Super Bowl. And there the cannons go. Fire them. Keep on firing them.
Hello and welcome back, Bucks fans, to a brand new edition of the Cannon Fire Podcast live on YouTube today. I'm your host, as always, Rhett Matthew, joined alongside me, my good buddy and co-host from BucksNation.com, Evan Wanish. Live on YouTube today to discuss some, I guess, breaking news. It's kind of a nothing burger, but it's one of those offseason developments that I think is going to be important in discussing the blueprint for what this Buccaneers offseason is going to look like. So there was a report that floated around the internet this morning from Jordan Schultz. And it said, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had a soft deadline today to get an extension done with Pro Bowl wide receiver Mike Evans, but both sides remain far apart. Tampa Bay is set to take on a $7.4 million in dead money for 2024 by not getting a deal done today. Now, this, a direct quote from Greg Allman as well, just to follow up. The expiring contracts for both Mike Evans and Baker Mayfield will void today, leaving a combined $14.5 million in dead money counting against the Bucs in the 2024 salary cap. Signing new deals with either of those guys would have kept some of that dead money in future seasons, but this move was expected. Also, just an update on the dead cap situation as well. Antoine Winfield's expiring contract also has its void years void today as well. The Bucs converted $2 million in base salary to a bonus last year to create cap space, so he will now count $1.6 million against 2024 cap in dead money. Even if he re-signs later with Mayfield and Evans, that is a combined $16.1 million in dead money. Evan, we are here today to mostly talk about the Mike Evans thing. We've also got some coaching updates for you guys. We'll get to that here in a second. But this is almost par for the course, right? I think the idea that Mike Evans was going to ultimately hit free agency, see what teams were ready to offer them, and then report back to Tampa Bay to see if they could match that offer, this is just kind of one of those things setting that in motion that a lot of us knew was going to be coming at some point.
Yeah. I do think, and look, George Schultz is a good reporter. He does good work. I don't, you know, doubt his reporting at all, right? I don't doubt that. But I will say that I do think the wording is what's throwing a little people off. And I think that's what's getting people a little worried. The far apart, just, you know, that wording, right? Diana Russini, I actually think, had a really good tweet on the situation. And I think sort of provides a little bit more context. And I think it's sort of, I would like to use a different word other than accurate, but I'm going to use a little bit more accurate for what the situation is. She said, today is the day that could save the Bucks some money by re-signing All-Pro wide receiver Mike Evans. However, that deal won't happen today. Look for the two sides to continue to negotiate in good faith as they work towards the start of free agency. Sounds a lot different, right? That sounds a lot different than what Jordan Schultz said So, you know, I would trust Diana Rossini there. And I mean, you know, trust Jordan Schultz as well. But I'm not sure if they're far apart. I just think that's maybe a little bit of poor wording there. But again, you know, I'm sure he might have heard that from somewhere, but there was clearly, you know, some pushback there. I will say for fans that are, you know, a little bit upset that they didn't get a deal done today or, you know, not going to, why? Like, I'm sorry. It's kind of on you if you expected them to get a deal done. Because here's the thing, right? Today, right? Can you name another time where a top free agent, because Mike Evans, he's not probably not going to be the top guy, but he's going to be a top guy in this free agency class. When is the last time you saw a top free agent sign 3 weeks before the market even opened? It doesn't happen. We haven't even hit the combine yet. It doesn't happen. So while, yes, technically they could have saved some money, which, by the way, I believe it would have gone on to 2025. So it would have saved some cap for this year, not for next year. That dead money is still dead money. It still has to go somewhere. So it would just affect it this year. I don't think it's that big of a deal because, like you said to open the show, like, it's kind of a nothing burger because the expectation wasn't that, oh, they're going to get a deal done on February 19th because that's when, you know, like, no, like that wasn't really the expectation. So I wouldn't really worry yet. And I do know that there's going to be a lot of Bucks fans that are nervous, right? And there's going to be, it's going to be a nervous 3 or 4 weeks here because, you know, even though like I still, and you actually asked me if you thought before the show, you asked me whether I thought Mike Evans would return to Tampa or not. And I said, well, wait a minute. You know, I still do think that Mike Evans is most likely return to Tampa Bay. Actually, somebody this morning asked me, can you give me a percentage on, you know, what you think? And I said 65%, which I think is pretty fair. So I still am leaning towards him returning to Tampa Bay, but he's also probably going to hit the open market. Like, he probably is. The Bucks did this with Lavonte David. He hit the open market. Jamel Dean hit the open market. Carlton Davis hit the open market. Shaq Barrett hit the open market. And they've all returned to Tampa Bay. Even lesser guys, Ndamukong Suh hit the open market, returned to Tampa Bay. Leonard Fournette hit the open market. Jason Pierre-Paul hit the open market. They all returned to Tampa Bay. So this isn't the first time that the Buccaneers, you know, have technically done this. Technically, they let Rob Gronkowski in 2021 hit the open market. So, like, it's not something to where the Buccaneers aren't used to this, right? They have a system. They have a way of doing things. And I'm sure they would love to get a deal done with Mike Evans right now. But it sort of behooves Mike Evans. And I'm sure Mike Evans' agent is saying the same exact thing right now. Why would you're this close to free agency? Why would you sign a deal right now? And unless the Buccaneers are overpaying for you, where you're like, oh, like you're definitely not going to get a better deal, right? Unless the Bucs are overpaying, which, you know, that's possible. But again, why would Mike Evans sign before free agency? But why would the Bucs overpay right now? You know, here's the scenario, and I don't mean to ramble on here, but let's say Mike Evans hits the open market. And the offers aren't really what he thinks, right? Like, they're strong offers, but they're not necessarily what he thought he might get 6-7 months ago, right? The Buccaneers might have just played themselves by signing him, you know, now for an extra $5-7 million a year when they could potentially, let's say it's $30 million, right? Let's say that's the number. Let's say Mike Evans goes to free agency. Nobody offers him $30 million. Like that's possible. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, he's a great wide receiver. He's also going to be 31 years old, right? It's a lot of money.
It's fair. It's fair. And one of the, I think one of the forms that you can see a lot of this mindset in action is when they just poll casual NFL fans. I saw a tweet today that said, hey, if you could sign Mike Evans to your team right now as a wide receiver one, but it had to be for, I think, 3 years, $28 million guaranteed, would you do it? And a majority of people said no because of the fact that he is 31 years old. Now, I am, at the end of the day, I'm a Bucks fan. I have rose-colored glasses on when I talk about Mike Evans and I look back at what he's been able to do throughout his career. But as a Bucks fan, and as it stands right now, the guy being the best offensive player in the history of the franchise, I don't have a problem paying him what he wants. Now, $30 million guaranteed is a lot of money for a wide receiver that old, so I can understand why a lot of these teams who aren't as needy at the wide receiver position would be a little hesitant, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. I do want to remind people we are taking calls on the topic and any other Bucks take you may have. 305-224-1968. The meeting ID for this week is 822-833-2850.
Well, the other thing is this won't be the last time we talk about this. So like,
No. We're going to circle.
This isn't the last show that we're going to do before free agency. So we are going to be talking about this a lot the next the next two or three shows will probably be mostly about free agency. So.
I'd say a month. Yeah. I mean, free agency starts, what, March 14th?
Right around there? The legal tampering period, I think, is March 14th. Yeah.
Okay.
Which,
so
legal tampering.
Yeah. Between now and then, I don't think we're going to get a solid answer about Mike Evans' future as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. I think we'll get the confirmation that he is going to hit free agency, and maybe we'll hear what his ballpark price is a little bit closer by then. But I don't think we're going to hear much more about it. But yeah, we will touch on this topic again before we end the show. But Evan, we do have some other headlines that we need to discuss. Tampa Bay Buccaneers had some coaching hires over the last couple of weeks. We haven't talked to you guys, but on the offensive side of the ball, Liam Cohen already making some moves to secure his staff.
Yeah, he has. Obviously, you know, since we last talked, the Buccaneers have actually had a few departures. Harold Goodwin, Joe Gilbert left for Carolina, actually, you know, to join Dave Canales in Carolina there. So the Buccaneers had a few more coaching, you know, vacancies to fill. Keith Armstrong actually retired. So then just instead of an offensive coordinator, they had Brad Idzik obviously went to Carolina to be their offensive coordinator. So they had a wide receivers coach to fill. They had a special teams coordinator to fill. They had an offensive line coach to fill. They had a lot of things. So yeah, I do think that there was a lot more, I think, than maybe the Bucks expected. But again, you know, that's kind of, you know, what happens there. But they have hired Brian Petrucci as the assistant offensive line coach. So there's one hire there. And then I think the big one, and it's not, I mean, big, it's a wide receivers coach, but Georgia's wide receivers coach and pass game coordinator, Brian McClendon, joining the Bucks as their wide receivers coach. So he's a guy who has only been in the college ranks. He's never been in the NFL. But he is, you know, highly regarded. So we know, you know, Georgia has had a great football team the last few years. So, you know, hopefully he can come in and make an impact. But you know, again, it's a wide receivers coach, but the Buccaneers are, you know, filling out that staff pretty nicely.
I will say one of the exciting prospects of some of these college guys is just the connections they have. I mean, you talked about him being on the Georgia coaching staff, and they've obviously been what they've been. So the connections that he has with some of these guys who were going into the draft, I think that's a fun idea for fans to toss around. Like, oh, what's the name of that little skinny white receiver who plays for Georgia? McConkey?
Lad McConkey, yeah.
Yeah. He's a guy who's probably going to be mentioned thousands of times between now and the draft solely because of that hire, right? People are going to throw that name around and say, oh, well, maybe you know, we can lure someone like that in to go play for one of his former position coaches. You never know.
Here's the thing, and I'm seeing a lot of stuff in the chat here, okay? Like, I'm seeing a lot of stuff in the chat about, no, he deserves his money, I'm not denying that at all, right? I 100% agree that Mike Evans deserves money. We're acting like Mike Evans is going to get peanuts. He's going to get paid, like, whether it's by the Bucks or somebody else, he's going to get paid regardless. Like, it's not like the Bucks are sitting here offering $10 million to him. You know, it's a big deal. Like it is. If I had to guess, the Buccaneers are probably in the range of 20 to 23 right now. Okay. 20 to 23 million. And Mike Evans is probably more in like the 27 to 30 million. That's what I would guess. What does that mean? It means I think they're probably going to be able to settle around $25 million, you know, and I don't know that for sure. That's not sourced or anything, but it's just, you know, what I think, you know, could happen. I do think Mike Evans is going to return, but he's also going to hit the open market. It's just sort of how it is. And like I said, at this point, it does not make any sense for Mike Evans to not hit the open market. He's made it this far. Luke Easterling actually has had, and I don't mean to bring up, you know, all these tweets, but it's like they're really good. Luke Easterling, somebody asked him, said, this is why the Bucks should re-sign him now. Okay. Luke Easterling said it's not that simple. I'm sure Mike's agent is well aware that a team like Houston might hand him a massive deal and would therefore make the Bucks well aware of it too. TB can't afford to bid against themselves now instead of waiting to see what his actual market will be. Comes back to the thing of what I'm saying. If the Bucks are just here, they have no idea what his market is. They could be paying well above market value right now. They don't know what other teams are planning to offer Mike Evans. And by the way, the market for Mike Evans is going to be pretty specific to me. It's not like a T. Higgins, right? I think teams like the Titans, the Panthers, I mean, the Bengals will obviously have interest in re-signing him. T. Higgins is one guy. To me, Mike Evans is a very unique situation because he's 31 years old, right? He has his Super Bowl ring. He's made a ton of money in his career, right? Now, not only he wants to make money, but also he wants to go a shot, a chance to win, right? A place where he feels he has an opportunity to win. So that's why that cuts it down, right? And because it cuts it down, the best teams in the NFL are usually the ones with not a ton of cap space because they have to pay good players. So that cuts it down even further. So I think when you're looking at suitors, I think you're looking at three. Okay, obviously Tampa Bay, right? Tampa Bay is going to be one of them. Like I said, I still think the most likely destination. I want to make that clear on this podcast. Okay, I still think, and I think Rhett feels the same way. The most likely destination is Tampa Bay for Mike Evans. Number two is the Kansas City Chiefs, obviously. But again, they might have cap issues, if they want to re-sign Chris Jones, obviously a big piece of their defense. Legarius Sneed's also a free agent, another big piece of their defense. So, are they going to devote that much money to Mike Evans? I don't know. I think the one that most fans are worried about, and I get it, I get this completely, it's Houston, right? Because Houston has the cap space. Mike Evans is from the Houston area, and they got a damn good quarterback. He's an up-and-coming quarterback, one offensive rookie of the year, looks to be the next star quarterback in this league. And the roster's pretty good. Now, I mean, will they win a Super Bowl next year? Maybe not, but we've seen crazier things happen, So I think Houston could be one where if you're looking at it and he hits the open market and Houston's like, we want to get Mike Evans at all costs. That one is where, but again, let's say Mike Evans receives the offer from Houston, right? I don't think Mike Evans is going to say, all right, yep, sign me up. I think he's going to take that offer. He's going to come back to Tampa Bay and say, can you match this? Right? I think he's going to give him that courtesy. Because they're the team that drafted them. He's a loyalty to them. He re-signed with them on multiple occasions, has taken pay cuts, has taken restructures. And also a lot of people actually hasn't taken many pay cuts because restructure isn't a pay cut. You're still getting your money just in a different form. So I do think that Mike Evans will, whatever contract he receives, he will come back to the Buccaneers and say, here's what I got offered. Here is what we got offered. What do you want to do with it? And the Bucks will have a decision. They can either match it, they can go a little bit higher, or they can say, you know what, Mike, we can't do that. So I also do think the Buccaneers are going to have the final say in whether Mike Evans stays or goes.
You're one of the first people I've heard mention Kansas City, only because when I think of the situation that they are in, they're a team that just won a Super Bowl, going to try and bring some of those pieces back. And of course, you've got probably priority number one for them being Chris Jones, and just the market for an interior D lineman that plays the way he does, being one of the best in the NFL, that's going to be tough. So in my mind, I just see two teams, really. I see Tampa and I see Houston. You talked about the specific situation that Mike Evans is in, and that helps Tampa. That bodes well for their chances of re-signing him, because I think it's delusional when I see pictures of him in a Washington uniform or a Panthers uniform.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen. You think Mike Evans at I've seen you say this. Do you think Mike Evans at 31 years old is going to leave the Bucs right now to go play for the Carolina Panthers, who were
the
just
worst
the
team
worst
in the NFL?
Right.
The worst team in the NFL.
Right.
Not
with happening. With a first-year head coach. I'm sure he likes Dave Canales, but that much?
Also,
that much?
Yeah, and obviously, people are connecting Mike Evans there because the Panthers need a wide receiver. They have a young quarterback. They have the cap space. And obviously, they have Dave Canales. Why are we acting like Mike Evans has been with Dave Canales his entire career? He spent one season with Dave. Mike Evans had more season with Byron Leftwich as an offensive coordinator than Dave Canales. Like, why are we making that strong of a connection based on one season? Al Bundy in the chat says, Titans and Pats. They have the cap space, and they want to draft a QB, so they need a wide receiver for their young QB. Which one of those teams is winning? Why would Mike Evans go to either one of those teams? I don't see it. So that's why I think, you know, I just think that the market is very unique for Mike Evans. And a lot of people say, well, he's going to be a top free agent. He's 31. He's going to be 31. And like I said, he's probably a guy who Carolina or New England or Tennessee, if they come calling, he'll listen. But, like, he's probably not going to be looking to go there unless they massively overpay. Because I think at this point in his career, yes, I know he already has a Super Bowl, but I think he probably wants another one or at least the best chance at another one. So I think at this point in his career, winning is going to be the top priority. Obviously, he wants to get paid, obviously. But I think winning and the chance to win is going to be a pretty big factor in his decision.
Wanted to dive a little more into my personal opinion about just how I think this is going to play out. You said it already. I think the most likely scenario is that Mike Evans is back in Tampa Bay. It just feels right. Feels like that is what is supposed to happen. Again, I am incredibly biased, but I know it's a business. I know it's a business, but I don't know if I will personally be able to forgive this franchise if they just show Mike Evans the door. I mean, this guy, at this point in his career.
Will you understand it a little bit more if he signs for $32 million a year?
I guess.
Are you just
I don't think he's going to sign for $32 million a year.
Are you just willing to have the check there and say, hey, Mike, our signature's on this. Write whatever you need in it. And
you know, I'm normally not the kind of guy who's going to be upset at a player going to get his money. Like, that's not the point. I'm not upset that he wants to be paid a lot of money. And I also understand that the Bucks are in a little bit of a spending crunch, but I just think they owe it to him. Like, I know it sounds ridiculous, and I know at the end of the day, that's not how it works, which is why this is the fan in me speaking out about this particular topic. And that's also why I saved it for the second half of the podcast. But yeah, I think personally, being a Super Bowl champion with the franchise that drafted him, not a lot of Bucks get that opportunity. A lot of the new age guys have, and that's awesome. But Mike Evans, like, he's seen it all. He has had the full Buccaneer experience. His rookie season, they went 2-14. He won a Super Bowl with the team. He is statistically a leader in pretty much every single receiving category the Bucks have. He is undisputedly, he is the best offensive player in franchise history. I know people are going to nickel and dime about Tom Brady, but those are casuals. I don't need to hear it from those people.
Brady played three seasons.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, Brady, sure, offensive player overall. Sure, it's Brady. But, you like, know, in a Buccaneers uniform.
Jason Light.
It's not Mike Evans. You say offensive player. Mike Evans is close to being the best player, period.
Yeah, maybe top five all time. When I toss around a lot of those top five Bucks of all time, I think about Derek Brooks. I think about Leroy Selman. I think about Rondae Barber. Me personally, Sapp is, I would put Mike Evans above Warren Sapp. I know Warren Sapp was super dominant at his position. And I think something that helps him is that, you know, there were a couple of years where he was the most dominant defensive tackle in the NFL. Yeah. I don't know if there's ever been a stretch of Mike Evans' career where we could say he was the most dominant wide receiver in the NFL. But he was the most consistent. So far, he has played his entire career here, which has been longer than the amount of time that Sapp spent here. I really feel like this team, it would be a huge middle finger to what Mike Evans has done for the history of the franchise to not give him what he's ultimately worth. I don't know if it's the contract length. I understand maybe it's the guaranteed money. Maybe it's the salary more so. North of 30 is scary when you're 31. I totally get it. He's made it clear that he wants Cooper Kupp money. He's not going to get that, which I think ultimately helps the Bucks. But, I mean, like, I don't know what I'll come on here and say if he ends up getting paid $32 million a year. I don't think he does at the end of the day. But if we're talking about the Bucks missing out on Mike Evans because they don't want to pay him $30 million a year instead of $26 or $27 million a year, I think that's going to be really disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, I do think you mentioned.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The years thing could be interesting. And that could be, I don't think Mike Evans wants to play, you know, much longer. I think he stay at that. Like, he's not going to be this guy who's going to be playing until he's 38, 39 years old. He's not going to be like a Larry Fitzgerald, you know. But I also think, you know, yeah, what if the Bucks are looking at a 3-year deal or so, but Mike Evans is looking at like a 4 or 5 year deal, and then you're like, man, like, we're going to be paying you $30 million when you're 36. Like, there's a lot of wear and tear on a wide receiver's body. Like, you're already not the fastest guy, and the speed's going to be one of the first things to go. Like, you know, we sort of saw, and I'm not saying they're the same exact player, just build-wise, they are very similar. We saw what Vincent Jackson was like towards the end of his career, right? You know, God rest his soul, but, you know, he wasn't as effective.
Wasn't
right?
as because explosive.
He wasn't as featured
of an item.
His body, his agility just wasn't, you know, wasn't the same. It just wasn't, you know. So, you know, we will definitely see. I do think Mike Evans will be back. You know, Greg Allman also had a very, you know, good tweet replying to somebody. You know, if not, the person said, if not the Bucks, the most likely destination would be Houston. Home, young, talented QB, ton of cap space, and a strong coaching staff. He said, Greg Allman said, I tend to agree Houston make a lot of sense for Evans for the reasons mentioned, though I still think it's more likely he stays in Tampa. So, I mean, this isn't just our opinion that he's staying in Tampa. You know, Greg Allman, it's been around the Bucks beat for a long time. One of the best Bucks reporters out there, you know. And I'm not saying that source is, that's his opinion too. That Mike Evans is probably staying in Tampa. I understand that a lot of fans are going to be nervous. I get it, right? There's going to be a lot of nervous times for Bucks fans right now, right? I had the same dude I think that asked me about the percentage said like I'm getting a little scared here. Like I get it. Right, because he is such an important player. He is, you know, such an important piece. You know, this would basically be like if Tom Brady were, you know, entered free agency, right? This is basically, you know, after, like, I feel like in New England it was sort of that time. But let's say you rewind 10 years, right? And New England fans are sitting there and Tom Brady's about to enter free agency. You're like, oh, you know, like it's nervous times. And I get it. I completely do. And unfortunately, I don't think the Buccaneers are going to make it easy on you because I do think that he's going to hit the open market. But ultimately, I don't think he's going to go anywhere. Now, would it shock me if he did? No, because again, when you get that open market, anything can happen. I mean, anything. There could be a team that we're not even mentioning right now that is like, we love Mike Evans. We need Mike Evans. You know, we are going to get Mike Evans. And the Bucks might look at it and be like, wow, okay, yeah, nothing we can really do, right? Like, got to pay, you know, Baker, got to pay Winfield, got to pay David, got to pay. You also got to sign other guys too for your team, right? So I do think it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting conversation. I don't really want to get into what, and we can get into this maybe in another episode here before free agency, of what the Bucks options could be if Mike Evans were to depart, because I would imagine, right? If Mike Evans were to leave, you know, wide receiver, it's not number one, probably. It's probably not the number one need, but it shoots up there, right? It definitely shoots up to a top five need. Because I just don't think you can go into the season with Trey Palmer as your wide receiver too. I just don't really think you're setting yourself up for success there, as much as I like Trey Palmer. But, you know, we will see. I do think that Here's the thing that I keep coming back to. And again, I don't mean to keep rambling on. It's just, you know, haven't done a pod in a while, you know, and this is like the return of our offseason content. So.
Yeah, got a lot to say. I get it.
Hopefully you guys have enjoyed the videos, by the way. We're not quite done with them. And we also have a little surprise video that'll be out soon. It's a little bit of a break from the position review. So, you know, I think a lot of people are like, well, the Baker thing, right? Like, he wants to know what quarterback he's playing with. And if Baker's back, then that will increase the chances of Mike Evans being back. Every indication, everybody that I've heard talk about it, basically talked about it at the Super Bowl media thing. And that Super Bowl media thing, when Baker was there, right? But there's a lot of people, right? A lot of insiders there that talk to each other and stuff. And, based on everything that I've heard when listening to a podcast, or listening to a clip, or I know that hot mic thing, caught Baker, it would be a surprise. It would be a pretty big surprise if Baker Mayfield was not back in Tampa Bay in 2024. So to me, that's why I keep coming back to, I think Mike Evans will likely be back, because people are like, well, if Baker's back, that puts the chances up even more. I'm pretty positive that Baker's going to be back. So I honestly don't even think, I think Mike Evans is going to hit the open market. I don't think Baker Mayfield is going to hit the open market. That's not saying they're going to get a deal done tomorrow. It still will be probably a few days before free agency, but I don't think he's even hitting the market. So I think he's back, and then I think that will just increase the chances of Mike Evans.
I think he'll be one of the first quarterback dominoes to fall when you look at pending free agents, guys awaiting deals, looking to get re-signed or potentially get signed elsewhere. I think it'll be one of those reports where a couple of days before the start of free agency, before the start of the legal tampering period, you'll hear something about how they have agreed to terms with Baker Mayfield, and he'll be set to re-sign. That's what I think is going to happen. But I'm glad you brought up Baker. While we are talking about contract details with Mike Evans, wanted to get your 2 cents on this before we wrap this thing up. Potential Baker Mayfield contract details revealed by NFL Insider. It's a little bit of a dramatic title, but it kind of gives you the gist of what we're about to read. NFL Insider Jonathan Jones broke down what a potential deal for Baker Mayfield could look like based on what he's been hearing from league sources. Of course, nothing is official, nor have the Bucs extended an offer, but when they do, Jones believes it will be somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 years, $75 million. It also sounds like the Bucs have the inside track to re-sign Baker, something that became a common refrain during Super Bowl media week. Here's the quote. A reasonable starting point, according to league sources, would be a tick above the Geno Smith three-year deal at $75 million. For Seattle last year that allowed for the Seahawks out after just one season. Quote, would anyone else in the NFL be willing to pay Baker Mayfield that? Perhaps not, but he wants to be in Tampa and the Buccaneers want him back. And that deal, according to league sources, is, quote, fair. So 3 years, $75 million. I feel like we've said that a whole lot here on the show. Yeah, I mean, towards the end of the season when we talked about what a contract for Baker would look like, I think that was most people's assumption, was maybe a little bit north of 30 on the high end, but a lot of people projected a 2-3 year deal worth about $25 million a year. So what are your thoughts on this? How do you ultimately see this shaken out?
Well, yeah, with that deal, potentially having an out after year one or after year two. So they're not
saddled up.
Right. It's not like if things go south, because again, Baker Mayfield had a great year, but you also have to acknowledge that you don't quite know, you don't quite know, because Baker Mayfield, one of the reasons he's in Tampa is because of some inconsistent plays. You don't quite know. I think, like, is Geno Smith going to be in Seattle, this year, but will he be in Seattle next year? Probably not. Like, I don't think he's going to see that whole three-year deal, to be honest with you. So it could be the case of Baker Mayfield. Could not be. Hopefully it's not, because that means, that if it's not, that means that Baker Mayfield's doing well enough. But I do think, 3 years, $75 million, that's pretty – that's sort of – I think realistically, the best-case scenario for the Bucs. I just don't – the talk of, 30, he could get over 30, that made me cringe a little bit. Because even though there could be potential outs, right? And I understand the market. And everybody's like, the Daniel Jones contract. Daniel Jones got $40 million. Okay, just because Daniel Jones got it, that doesn't make it a good contract. Like, everybody says, Daniel Jones got it, so Baker can get it. That doesn't make that a good contract. So, like, that would be a bad deal. So I do think it's going to be a little bit above that 3 years, $75 million. I think it might be maybe 3 years, maybe like $85 million, which, doing quick math here, that's a little over 28 a year. I could see it being something like that, just because, cap going up and everything. So, But yeah, I do think Baker Mayfield will be back, and that deal, I think, with an out after year one or year two, it makes a lot of sense for, I think, for both sides.
Well, just like you mentioned in the Mike Evans thing, you know, the implications of the market. Well, at the end of the day, the market may be this, but the situation for a lot of teams is this. So when you're Baker Mayfield, who fills the role of a very specific quarterback, maybe there's not a lot of teams who are looking for that, who have the cap space to pay him north of $30 million a year. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things where you have to wait for push to become shove, and then you ultimately see what you're working with, which as far as Baker Mayfield's market value and Mike Evans' market value, as we talked about for much of the show, the Bucks just have to wait and see.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's, I understand, like, I get people's want to bring Baker back, but I also get people's sort of nervousness or apprehension to bring Baker back.
Yeah, it's all fair.
Because, you know, it's a little bit bigger than the 1 year, $4 million deal he signed this past offseason. You know, I think even the biggest, you know, Baker hater, I guess you could say, or Baker crybaby, you know, could I say? You know, I think even like the not so big fans of Baker would still be like, yeah, sure, let's do another, you know, 1 year deal for $4 million. Like, sure. So I understand why like a bigger deal for longer term would make people a little bit nervous. But at the end of the day, you know, that's the market. I know people say, well, then I would just move on, and I get it. Like, I do get it. At the same time, though, you got to think like, Todd Bowles still wants to keep his job. Jason Light still wants to keep his job. And where they're picking the draft, Baker Mayfield probably still gives them the best chance to win in 2024 out of the realistic options, right? I don't think they're going to – I mean, Kirk Cousins is going to make more. Like, is Kirk Cousins an upgrade over Baker Mayfield? Sure he is. But he's also pretty old, right? He's coming off a major injury, and he's going to cost more money. So I think the realistic options that are out there, I think Baker Mayfield probably gives you the best chance to win in 2024.
So again, going back to that market discussion, just to address this in chat, and then we'll break it down, get out of here. So Al Bundy says, Baker isn't going to sign for $25 million. In the middle of 2023, I thought Baker around $27 million, but he won a playoff game. He is going to demand over $30 million. I think he will sign for $33 million per year for 3 years with an out after 2 years. Now, does this just circle back to the...
I could see something similar, sure.
Right. Now, does this just kind of circle back to the point we had made about, you know, well, the market says that he is favored to get north of $30 million, but how many teams are readily able to give him north of $30 million right now? If nobody's
offering that.
Like, if there's not, and the Bucks are the only team handing him a contract worth north of $26 million a year, I mean, it's going to be hard for him to take a look at, you know, the grass potentially being greener somewhere else, especially a guy that has lacked consistency these last couple of years. And listen, don't get it twisted. Like I said it during the season, I'll say it right now, I'm still a big Baker fan. I want the guy to come back. I don't give a shit if he signs for 25 mil or if he signs for 33 mil. It's not going to affect me or my bottom line personally. Like, I'd like to see him get his money, you know? I'm not afraid of the Bucks investing in Baker at this stage of the game. It is what it is. I know you definitely feel a little bit differently than I do, but that's what makes good conversation on this here podcast. But I do think you just have to look at the other quarterback needy teams and exactly how much spending money they're going to have, and also what their priority list looks like. You know, there's a team like New England who has spending money and has a priority list as long as anyone else in the league. But where are they going to start? You know, where do they start with that new head coach? That's another thing, too. Well, new head coach.
And also, you know, New England has the third overall pick. I know the thought process would be, sign Baker and, you know, you draft Marvin Harrison Jr. at third overall. But I don't know. I'd probably just rather start with my franchise quarterback at number three rather than sign Baker Mayfield, to be honest with you. Like, you know,
New England is New England was kind of a team I threw out as a random example.
Well, no, because I mean that was rumored because obviously they hired Alex Van Pelt as their offensive coordinator, and he was offensive coordinator for Baker, and so I know it's going to be a lot of divisive torn opinions, I guess. There's going to be a lot of, it's a polarizing thing, right? He's a polarizing player.
As with any quarterback, I mean, the only time this fan base has ever gotten along about the quarterback was with Tom Brady, because who can argue against, you know, TB12 as your starting quarterback? Not a lot of people can.
And even then, right when they signed Brady, there was a lot that were like, he's washed. You know, there was some there, like, you know, there was a lot of, there wasn't many like middle people, right? It was either this is the great, he's going to win MVP, or it's going to be, you know, he's washed, you know. You know, and I get it. You know, there was definitely some concern there. There's going to be some concern with signing Baker Mayfield. Like, there is. At the same time, though, probably, again, like I said, what is best for them to win in 2024, whether you hate it or you like it, it's probably Baker Mayfield. Like, it probably is. So that's why I do think it's probably the most likely outcome, and then in turn that will allow, you know, the Buccaneers to have a better shot at signing Mike Evans. Like, I do think that it will. And I also think, like, Baker, the thing about it, like, New England could be interested, Atlanta could be interested, a few other teams like Minnesota, if Kirk does leave, could be interested. But I think Baker will have a little bit more of a loyalty to the Bucs also, because, you know, the Bucs, and he's talked about this a lot, like, the Bucs gave him an opportunity. You know, the Bucs sort of believed in him. He signed a one-year deal for $4 million. The Bucs believed in him sort of when no one else did, and I think that matters to Baker.
Let's not forget the Jenaline report as well, that the Buccaneers kind of consulted Baker and what this hiring process for a new offensive coordinator was going to look like. He said that that was new for him. The Bucs included him in their plans, which, again, I know we haven't gotten any official contract announcements, but I mean, all signs point towards Baker Mayfield being the guy for the Bucs in 2024.
Yes, yeah. And so really quick before we wrap up, I know there's been some reports, because I do believe the franchise tag window opens tomorrow for teams, tomorrow up until March 5th, I believe. Antoine Winfield, if the Buccaneers use it, right? The Bucs do not have to use it, but Antoine Winfield's the likely tag candidate. And also, that doesn't mean that he's going to play on it. If you remember two offseasons ago, the Bucs franchise tagged Chris Godwin, then about a week later got a long-term deal done with Chris Godwin. So sometimes the franchise tag could just be used as a placeholder so that player doesn't, you know, doesn't go anywhere, right? So he doesn't hit the open market. Antoine Winfield, I believe the franchise tag for safeties are on $18 million. So I think Antoine Winfield's the likely candidate there if they do decide to use it. Baker Mayfield, probably not. Mike Evans, definitely not. I think his tag number be like $28 million or something. Like, if you're gonna do that, you might as well sign into a long-term deal. I do think they'll, you know, if they do use the franchise tag, it'll be on Antoine Winfield. So just another little bit of information there. Not much on the Levante David front or anything. Hasn't really even been an indication that he's retiring or anything like that. It's there hasn't really been much noise there. So I'm sure, you know, the closer we get, and we'll find out a little bit more. But also with the combine, you know, the combine coming up, this is where you're going to start to hear a little bit of rumblings, right? Just a little bit of stuff, because everybody tampers, okay? The legal tampering period starts on March 14th. No, it starts this weekend, okay? This is it starts this weekend in Indy. That's when it starts. So, you know, agents, teams, they're going to be talking, right? And that's when you're going to start to hear maybe some rumblings about some fits for teams, or guys that could be re-signed by their teams, or anything like that. So, I do think, you know, this week, the beginning of this week, you're still going to be in sort of like the quiet mode, I think. But, you know, coming out of this coming weekend, I think you could hear a little bit of whispers. And like I said, we'll be here talking about it. And if there's any breaking news or whatever, we'll obviously be here too.
This is also the time of year people love to crunch the numbers, especially with talk about dead cap, the Buccaneers further kicking the can down the road, how much they're going to eat this year as opposed to next year and the year before. I think it's important to mention, we talk about some things and some rumblings that you're going to hear. My gut also says we're going to hear a lot more talk in the coming weeks about a Tristan Wirfs contract extension. One of the major talking points we had heard about that before is that I believe the Bucs already picked up his fifth-year option. I'm not sure what the value for that is going to be against the cap next year. But ultimately, if they sign him to a long-term extension this season, they can determine what his 2024 cap hit is going to be. And I think that is going to be a huge talking point moving forward, because if you franchise tag a guy like Antoine Winfield, if you make Tristan Wirfs cap hit in 2024 something like $5-7 million, well, you know, that's
a lot of cap space.
Yeah, that's $15-20 million that you weren't paying him on the fifth year option. So a lot of things to consider here. And let's not forget that very talented front office, Jason Light and company, doing a lot of cap gymnastics.
I think we got to remind that too. Or Jason Light, Mike Greenberg, Jackie Davidson, John Spytek, you know. You got to remember those guys as well, because they're some of the best in the world at what they do, right? And time and time again, they have shown, like, you know, you should probably have some faith in them. So I think they're going to do the right thing. And the thing that sucks about the franchise tag, though, is you can't spread that out, right? If it's $18 million, that's $18 million off your cap. Like, there is no spreading that, because there's nowhere to spread it to. Like, it's a one-year deal. Like, there's, like, you can't even use a void year on a franchise tag, right? So that's the thing that sucks about the franchise tag, and why I think a lot of teams, you know, you don't love to use it because of that. Like, you can't move that money around. So hopefully if they do franchise tag Antoine Winfield, which I'm starting to think is a little bit more likely, hopefully that's sort of like a Chris Godwin situation where it's a placeholder, and then a few weeks later they get a deal done to be able to bring his 2024 cap hit down to a more manageable number.
No calls today. That's all right. We'll get them in the next one. That'll do it for this week's episode of the Cannon Fire Podcast. Thank you guys for hanging out with us live over on YouTube. Subscribe for more Tampa Bay Buccaneers content if you haven't already. Got plenty of great stuff planned to be coming out for you guys over the course of the week and beyond as we keep you posted on all things red and pewter over the offseason. Follow the show on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those are Cannon Fire Podcast, best place to go for updates on the show, and of course, Buccaneer news as it happens. Speaking of Bucs news as it happens, you can follow my co-host Evan on Instagram at Bucs_daily. You can also find him on Twitter at EvanNFL, and check out his written work at BucsNation.com. Been putting in some work here on the YouTube channel. You got anything in the hopper the people should know about?
Yeah, I mean, on Bucs Nation right now, I have three offensive players that the Bucs should target in free agency, three defensive players that the Bucs should target in free agency. I have a little bit of other stuff, too, coming out before the end of the month. But next podcast will be, and it's I'm announcing it now because I love doing the stuff. So next podcast, I will have my mock offseason where it is partially realistic stuff, but also like what I would do. So it's not a prediction. It's partly, like I said, I try to keep it realistic. So I'm not going to be trading up to number five to draft Drake May or that. Like I'm trying to keep it realistic here. So, at the same time, I always love doing it and just seeing, you know, what I would do. So next episode, I will have that ready for you guys. And I go in depth. I do re-signings, cuts, free agency, draft, whatever it may be. Stay tuned for that. And like I said, yeah, keep an eye on the YouTube channel. We'll have more content out this week. So there's already stuff planned. And like I said, we still have one more positional review, which is the secondary. So stay tuned for that. Then we have a few other things planned. And like I said, a pretty cool surprise towards the end of the week for you guys. So yeah, appreciate all the support on it. I know it's a different thing that we've done. We haven't really done that before in the past. So I do appreciate the support on it, and hope you guys are enjoying it. And you know, we're not finished with it. Obviously, we're not just doing the positional reviews and then we're out. You know, so there is going to be, you know, more short term content, short form content, other than just the podcast. But we will be, you know, back doing our won't be, I was going to say, regularly scheduled program. But there's not really going to be a schedule as much in the off season, because it's kind of just, you know, when news, you know, or like small bits of news, we let them sort of pile up a little bit. Like, we'll let four or five things pile up and then do a podcast. But if it's something big, like the Buccaneers re-sign Baker Mayfield tomorrow, you can go on YouTube and we'll be live on here tomorrow. So, you know, stay tuned for all that stuff.
Last but not least, you can find myself on social media, Instagram and Twitter at Redicus, R-H-E-T-T-A-K-U-S. If you follow me, I will follow you back. Looking forward to keep you guys posted on everything that happens right here. YouTube.com/CannonFirePodcast is where you can catch us live. And then we also wanted to show some love to our audio people on any podcast platform, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, I think SoundCloud even. I don't even know if that's nice. A thing anymore. Yeah, right. We appreciate you guys and look forward to bringing you some more news when we have it. I'm your host, Rhett Matthews, signing off for my co-host, Evan Wanish. We'll talk to you in the next one. Until then, and as always, thank you for listening and go Bucks.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.